Happy Easter, everyone. When I say Christ is risen, you say, truly he is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Truly he is risen. Hallelujah. Friends, we're celebrating this Easter season, and we're celebrating these days where Jesus appeared to his disciples. How many days did he appear to his disciples after the resurrection? Anybody? How many days? 40. 40 days he appeared to them, teaching them, speaking with them. And then he ascended to the Father's right hand. But the Easter season is how long? It's 50 days long. So why isn't it 40 days long? What happens on day 50 that's part of the Easter season? Pentecost. The coming of the Holy Spirit upon all the disciples, the birth of the church. They go forth and proclaim Jesus is risen. He is alive. So we're celebrating Pentecost on the 50th day. You know, when St. Luke summarizes what Jesus did in those 40 days with his disciples, he gives us really three things. He says, in those 40 days, Jesus revealed himself by appearing to them, by speaking to them, and by eating with them. By appearing to them, by speaking to them, by eating with them. And those are all like really like human, ordinary things, right? I mean, that's what you do with your friends. You show up, you talk to each other, and you eat, you hang out. Like, these are very human encounters with Jesus who is risen. He's the same Jesus that they knew for 3 years and who they've come to know as their Lord and their God, but he's also different because he's resurrected. They have these encounters with him, and so when they go out to preach, they don't say, everyone, listen to us on Pentecost, listen to us. We have a new religious idea that we think is really cool. They don't go out and say, hey, we have a great moral system. If you want to be a good person, we'll tell you how to do it. No, they simply go out and they say, this Jesus God raised from the dead, and we were with him. We've seen him. We ate with him at table after his resurrection. And because of his resurrection and his salvation, everything's different now. Life is different now. You could live differently. It was those encounters with the risen Lord that was the beginning of their proclamation of how the world's different. As we pray for these 19 confirmation candidates, we're praying that they would always in their lives, that you would always have in your lives, these continual encounters where you meet Jesus in your life, you come to know him personally, and from knowing him and being changed by him, you can go out and say to others, this same Jesus is the one who saved you, the one who loves you. He's the one that the world's all about, that's what life's about. Now, when St. Luke talks about how Jesus was appearing to them and speaking to them and eating with them, the funny thing is, with that third thing, he actually doesn't say he was eating with them. Literally, in the Bible, St. Luke in Acts 1:4 says, and he was eating salt with them. Eating salt, like table salt, eating salt with them. That's what it says. It's the only time that word is used in the New Testament. So we're like, hey, St. Luke, what's going on here? That's a little interesting. What's that all about? Why would it say that about how Jesus ate with his disciples after the resurrection? Salt. Two reasons. In the Old Testament, when covenants were made between people and God, between people and others, they would often seal the deal by eating salt together at table. It was like a ritual that says, like, we're now in this covenant together permanently. A covenant is a permanent bond that makes you family. It's a permanent bond that makes you what? It makes you what? Family. It's a permanent bond that makes you family. And they would eat salt together to do that, to seal the deal. So Jesus is saying, when he's eating with his disciples, eating salt with them, he's saying, you're now God's family. You're God's sons and daughters. I'm your brother. I died for you and rose for you so that you would know that you always have a family you belong to. A divine family. He made that covenant with us in his blood. That's what he talked about at the Last Supper. That was the beginning of that covenant, where he said, this is the new and everlasting covenant. This is my body. This is my blood. Do this in memory of me. This is forever. It's a covenant renewal. That's why he eats salt with them. The second reason is that salt keeps things from decaying, and it makes things full of flavor and zest. That's why we use it in lots and lots of food. It's St. Luke telling us that if we live our lives at table with Jesus, then our lives aren't flavorless, and they're not going to decay even when we die. Christ lets us actually share in God's divine life, where our lives find zest and flavor and goodness. Everything that's good about life, Jesus preserves, just like salt preserves food. That's the second reason why it says he ate salt with them. Jesus will eventually send those first disciples out to be his witnesses, to testify to what they've seen and heard. He fills them with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, gives them all the graces they need. When tomorrow night, when these teens are confirmed, they're going to receive, in a certain way, like a new Pentecost, a new grace of the Holy Spirit to be Christ's witnesses. And when you're sent out by Christ, wherever you go in this world, in your schools, your workplaces, your families, wherever you travel, you are meant to remain salty. You're not meant to lose your flavor, because the Holy Spirit is in you and Christ is in you. You know, as Catholic Christians, we don't live a life of a witness of Christ that's only private and hidden. Like, my faith is this thing between God and me, and like no one else kind of like gets into that. Like, nope. That's flavorless faith. As Catholic Christians, we aren't the kind of people who, yeah, maybe on a box on a forum, we check Catholic for like our identity, but we don't let that be known to anybody, and we don't let it impact other people's lives. That's a faith that's lost its saltiness. And we're not Catholic Christians who, you know, have a Bible on the shelf that never gets taken down, or maybe we come to church on Christmas and Easter, those big days, but the rest of the days is like, well, maybe I'll go. That's a flavorless faith that's lost its flavor, lost its zest of life. The gift of the Spirit enables us to be Jesus' witnesses, and as witnesses of Christ, Jesus always keeps on gathering us together at table. Like, yes, like, will Jesus send these teens out on mission in all kinds of places in the world? Absolutely. Will he send you to the far corners of the earth or far corners of your school? Sure, absolutely. Missionaries are sent. But Christ only sends us when he first gathers us together around the table. Like when Jesus gathered the Emmaus disciples and said, and they ran back to Jerusalem to be with their friends. Like at the upper room where they were waiting for Pentecost, waiting for the Spirit to come, and they were waiting together. Like when Jesus said after the resurrection, go back to Galilee. And they went there together, that place where they were first called as this band of brothers and sisters. They were gathered together constantly at the table of the Lord. You see, today, when we receive the body and blood of Christ, it's like he is eating salt with us again. He's telling us, by the gift of himself, you're my family. He's telling us, I'm giving you the zest of life. Hold on to it. Keep it. Come every Sunday to this table where I want to meet you and gather you together. Because if we don't gather with our Lord at that table, week by week, our faith becomes flavorless, and it really does nothing for anyone, and eventually not even for ourselves. We have to let the Lord gather us every single Sunday at the table so that we can be constantly filled with him, that we can encounter Jesus as a real living person, and that we have the power and the strength to go out to other people and say, this covenant is for you. You're part of God's family. You're meant to have the zest and the zeal of life. The flavor of divine life, that's not just for me, that's for you. And I'm a witness to it. I can't force you to believe that, but I know that I have to speak about it. I have to witness to it. That's the grace of confirmation. That's the grace Christ is going to give all of you tomorrow night. We pray for you to hold on to this grace. We pray for you to receive that salt of life always. We pray for you to be gathered at the table of the Lord, to always know the love that never ends. The love that Christ has given us by his death and his resurrection.